Everybody, we're in the middle of our series on Hilchos Shabbos. I just figured that since we're already in the Hanukkah season, we were on the precipice of really getting into a little bit of a difficult part of Hilchos Shabbos, and that was Chatzi Shira Malacha Shabbos, which probably is going to take us more than 1 week to discuss. And next week I have to be here. I'm going to be in Los Angeles speaking. So tonight I thought maybe we'll talk about something which is not directly related to Hanukkah, but it has obviously reaching consequences to Hanukkah and to many other times throughout the year. A little bit of a sugya, a little bit Hanukkah style. So let's look at a Gemara in Zvachim Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us really a Mishnah in Zvachim, where the Mishnah discusses the whole halacha of Tadr V'Sheinu Tadr Tadr Kodim. So that's what I want to try to develop tonight. We'll try to look into all the different ramifications, where it comes up throughout the year. It comes up more than once on Hanukkah, but let's begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kol HaTadr MeChaveiro Kodem es chaveru. That which comes before something, that which comes more frequently than something else, is kodem la chaveru. That should be done first. Hatmidim. And therefore, every day when you have an option of either to offer the carbon tamid or the carbon musaf, not every day, right? Then it would be, they would both be equally tadir. So you only bring your carbon musaf on special occasions. So if you have an option either to bring the carbon tamid or the carbon musaf, for example, on Shabbos, when you bring both of them. So we assume, says the Mishnah, you first bring carbon tamid. Only afterward do you bring the Karban Musaf. If you have a toss-up between Musfei Shabbos and Musfei Rosh Chodesh, for example, today is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so do I bring the Musaf for Shabbos or do I bring the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh? So the Mishnah says you bring the Musaf of Shabbos first because Shabbos comes more frequently than Rosh Chodesh. Musfei Rosh Chodesh, Kodmin the Musfei Rosh Hashanah Shanemar. How do we know all of this? Milvado las habokar asher lo las hatamid tasu asela. So the Gemara learns it from a pasuk. Milvado las habokar, that aside from the carbon tamid that you already brought in the morning for the fact that today is a regular day, you also have to bring the carbon, which is specifically for today, which is Yom Tov, or Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Chodesh, whatever it happens to be. Now, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has a very interesting discussion in Maseches Pesachim, in his Kovet Shiurim, where he discusses the following. Now that we know that there's a halacha of Tadr V'Sheinu Tadr Tadr Kodem, so he wants to know the following. Is it a din that there's a mitzvah now to be makdim, the one which is tadir? Is it that I have to go and do that one first? Or, let's say I'm able to do both at the same time. So obviously, by shechting a carbon, you can't do both at the same time. It's not possible. Unless you have more than one kohen, but then there's no toss-up for him. So if you have some kind of situation where one is tadir, one is not, but I can do both of them at the same time. So would I still say that tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir kodim, the tadir has to come first? Is that what the Mishnah is coming to tell me? Or is it just a halach in kadima? Is it just in trying to figure out which one should I do first? If I have to triage, if I have to figure out, and I only have a chance to do one, to perform one of the two mitzvahs, so which one should I choose to do? Should I choose to do this one first or to do that one first? But obviously, if I can do both of them, obviously I should do so. So you take, for example, a test case. We have a halacha of asei dochalos asei, right? The halacha is that asei, whatever the mitzvah might be, generally we assume it's dochalos asei. If you hear from Marv, Marv is next door at 9:30. So if asei dochalos asei, what's the halacha? Let's say I can do both of them. Efshe l'kayim shneim. There's no reason for me to destroy, for me to push aside the los asei because I can perform the asei without violating the los asei. So the halacha is, well, then you have no excuse to violate the los asei in such a case. Why? Because there's just no reason to. Efshe l'kayim shneim. So too over here, I would have said, if it's efshe l'kayim shneim, if I can perform both mitzvahs, and I don't have to have a choice of which one to do, I would have said that that's what I should do. I should perform both of them. Yet, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says that no, he proves from a Tosis and Maseches Tmura, which we won't get into his Raya now, but he proves counterintuitively, it's not what I would have said. He says that the halacha of Tadr V'Sheinu Tadr Tadr Kodem is that the Tadr has to come first. It's not that I could do both of them at the same time. Is that the tadir must come first. That's what Rabbi Chanan proves in Maseches Pesachim in the Kovet Shirim. The Mikdash David, one of the contemporaries of Rabbi Chanan, disagrees, and he says, what are you talking about? Don't we know that any time, like by Asei Dechalos Asei, if it's Efshe L'Kayim Shneim, if I'm able to perform both Asei and the Los Asei, then I'm not going to push one of the mitzvahs aside. I'm going to do both of them. So to over here, says the Mikdash David, I don't understand. If I was able to do both of them, I would have done both. What does the Mishnah discuss when it says over here, if I can do the Karban Tamid before the Karban Musaf, I should do that? What do you mean? I have 500 Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So why can't I go ahead and bring the Karban Tamid at the same time as the Karban Musaf? Why can't I do both? So he says, no, because over there, we're talking about a very specific Isser, and that is, there's a halacha when it comes to being Makriv Karbanos, which tells us that you have to have the Karbanos bookended by the Karban Tamid in the morning and the Karban Tamid in the afternoon. And everything else has to be in between the Hakrovas Karban Tamid Shal Shachar and the Hakrovas Karban Tamid Shal Ben Harabayim. So over there he says that's why Karban Tamid comes before the Karban Musaf, because that's Tadr Mechaveru. And not only that, says the Mikdash David, also we assume that there's an Isser to bring anything before the Karban Tamid. How the Mikdash David explains the rest of the Mishnah is a very good question. But the Mikdash David says what I would have simply said on my own, that this din of Tadr V'Shein or Tadr Kodem does not mean to say that you specifically have to do this one first. It just means that only if I have to triage, if I have to choose between one of the two, then this one should come first. But obviously, if I'm able to do both, I would have said that you should do both. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a long arichas on this also in his Sefer Tziyudim LaTorah. Interesting discussion, but the simple understanding is like the Mikdash David said, that obviously we would assume if a person is able to perform both at the same time, obviously that's what you should do. Now, where does this halacha of Tadr V'Shein or Tadr actually come up practically? So we have a couple of places in Shulchan Aruch. Number one, Shulchan Aruch talks about a number of bays when you have Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov Shechalios b'Shabbos. When you have Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov that fall out on Shabbos, I'm eating my meal. So now in benching, I have to recite number one Ritzei for Shabbos, and I have to recite Yalav Yavo for the fact that today is Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows: Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov Shechalios b'Shabbos. What do I do first in benching? Do I first say Ritzei, or do I first recite Yalav Yavo? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins Omer beBirchas Hamazon Ritzei v'Hachlitzeinu Tchila. First you recite Ritzei, and then afterward, Achar Kach Omer Yalav Yavo de Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov. Then afterward you recite Yalav Yavo for Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov. Why is that? Because Tadr V'Shein Tadr Kodem. So since Shabbos comes every week, therefore Shabbos takes precedence to Yom Tov, which only comes periodically throughout the year. Or it takes precedence to Rosh Chodesh, which only comes 12 times throughout the year. So that's the first time we find this coming up in Shulchan Aruch LaHalacha. Not correct. It's not the first time. The first time we find it is the Beis Yosef in Siman Chaf Hei, all the way in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. What are you supposed to do when you come to shul every morning? So I have a toss-up. Either I should put on my talis or my tefillin. So the Beis Yosef talks about it, and he says there are two reasons why you should put on the talis first. Number one, he says, because the mitzvah of tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvos kulan. We assume the mitzvah of tzitzis has some special unique aspect to it, where we assume that it's shkula, it's parallel, it's equal to all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, and therefore we assume tzitzis takes precedence because it's somehow more important than everything else. So that's reason number one the Beis Yosef gives. Reason number two that the Beis Yosef gives is because we assume Tadr V'She'enu Tadr Tadr Kodem. What's the Tadr V'She'enu Tadr? Well, think about it. How many days a year do you wear a talis? Every day of the year. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, everything. How many days a year do you wear tefillin? Every day other than Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore it's Tadr V'She'enu Tadr Tadr Kodem. This is what the Beis Yosef quotes from the Nemukah Yosef. Now that is not such a simple assumption. That's not such a great example. The Shagas Aryeh takes great issue with this, and he says, well, number one, I have a couple of problems. Tefillin, everyone is obligated to wear tefillin. On the other hand, tzitzis, we're not obligated to wear tzitzis. It just says, if you happen to be wearing a baget that has four corners, you should put tzitzis on it. So he says, how can you compare the two? One is a mitzvah that I must do. One is a mitzvah that I'm not obligated to do. It's just, if you happen to have a baget that has dalet kampos, you have to put on tzitzis. So you can't compare the two. How can you say Tadr V'She'enu Tadr dictates that that's why I should put on the talis first? What do you mean? I'm not obligated to wear a talis every day. So that's question number one that he asks. He has many other different questions as well about this, and he says, well, when you think about it, tefillin is something that's really noeg bein b'yom u'bein b'layla. It's something I have to do both. The only reason we don't wear tefillin at night is because Chazal came along and said, we're concerned maybe you're going to fall asleep in them, and then you're not going to be thinking about the tefillin while you're falling asleep. So that's the reason why. But midaraisa, on a biblical level, we assume you have to wear tefillin beba yom beim belayla. And talis is not that way. Talis is a big discussion in the Rishonim and the Gemara, whether talis yirchayv and a talis balayla or not. So this is a very interesting discussion that the Shagas Aryeh raises, is this example of the Beis Yosef when he says that talis comes first in the morning before tefillin. Is that really correct or not? Because obviously it's correct. The question is why. Maybe we should assume the reason why is because talis is shkula keneged kol mitzvos. The reason why talis comes first is not because talis is more tadir, rather it's perhaps because talis is shkula keneged kol mitzvos. So leave that example aside. We have a very common example that we come up with, and that is, let's say a person is in the middle of eating something, then they have to go to the men's room, and then they come back. So now they have two brachas in front of them. I finished eating, I have to make a bar nefashos, and now I have to make an asher yatzar. So which one should I do? So it's interesting, the Achronim write that Asher Yatzar you have to make first before Bar Nefashos. Why? Because we assume that Asher Yatzar is more Tadir than Bar Nefashos. Interesting. Not sure I would have said that. Nowadays, we don't only eat at scheduled times in the day. We're noshing all day long and we're eating things, and it could very well be that we're chayiv to make a Bar Nefashos more often than we're chayiv to make an Asher Yatzar. So that's an interesting thing to think about, whether or not the halacha might change nowadays. The Maharshal and the Magen Avraham argue that the reason why Asher Yatzer comes first is because Asher Yatzer you say more times a day than the Bar Nefashos. Nowadays, when it might not be the case, perhaps that halacha might change as well. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, well, what do you do if you have a toss-up between Berachas HaMazon and Asher Yatzer? Right, so that's an interesting question. Let's say I'm in the middle of eating a real meal, and now I have to bench, I'm chayv in Berachas HaMazon. So Rabbi Kiva Eger has a suffix. Should you say the same thing that the Maharshal said, that, well, Asher Yatzer is tadir, so you do that first? Or do you say no? Berachas HaMazon is daraisa. Berachas HaMazon is a bracha that you mechuyev to say daraisa, so maybe the daraisa bracha comes first before you make the Asher Yatzer, which clearly is only midirabbanan. So you'll ask, what's the question? What do we do in the morning? Come to shul, look in any siddur, which bracha comes first? Berachas HaTorah is also a bracha daraisa. Which bracha do we say first? We all say Asher Yatzer before we say Berachas HaTorah. So I don't know, I just thought of that now. It's just, I think that's what you were about to ask. But it's an interesting question. And the last example that we find in Shulchan Aruch is with regard to the Kriyas HaTorah on Chanukah. And that is what happens on Chanukah when you have Rosh Chodesh Teves falls out every year on Chanukah. One of the days of Chanukah or two of the days of Chanukah is going to be Rosh Chodesh Teves. So what do you do with the Kriyas HaTorah? So the halacha is that you have to recite a Kriyas HaTorah number one for Rosh Chodesh, number two for Chanukah. Which one do you do first? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tafresh Peidalad, which is Hilchas Chanukah, we assume that you have to first lay in the Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Chodesh, and then afterward we lay in the Kriyas HaTorah for Chanukah. Why is that? Again, because Tadir Shena Tadir, Tadir Kodim. Since Rosh Chodesh comes around 12 times a year and Chanukah is only 8 days a year, therefore we assume that the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh takes precedence to the Kriya of Chanukah, which is only 8 times a year. Now, when we talk about Tadir Shena Tadir, Tadir Kodim, so there's a question that's discussed in the Achronim. How far do we take that principle? Does that mean if I only have the opportunity to do one thing now and one thing in 5 minutes from now? So the Gemara is trying to figure out which one should you do first. But what if I'm only going to have the opportunity to perform one of them? Meaning, I have 5 minutes till I'm running off to work. So I have a choice. Either I'm going to put on talus or I'm going to put on tefillin. Either I'm going to lay in the Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Chodesh or I'm going to lay in the Kriyas HaTorah for Chanukah. But the other one is not going to happen. I don't have enough time. I'm a Hatzalah member. I know I'm going to have to run out. Whatever it is. I'm a doctor. I'm on call. So if I only have a chance to do one of the two mitzvahs, do we say over there also that the guiding principle is tadir shenu tadir tadir kodim to knock out the other one legamri? Is that what it means? So that's a question that Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses. And Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes a Yerushalmi in Maseches Megillah. The Yerushalmi writes as follows, I'll read it, Amar Shmuel, Mishi yesh lo malos likno so tefillin o mezuzah. Someone who has an option either to buy tefillin or to buy a mezuzah. Which one should you buy? I only have a few dollars. So what should I choose? Tefillin or mezuzah? What would he say? Tefillin, why? Put it on every day. And mezuzah?
I think that's more of a tadir.
Which one's more of a tadir?
Mezuzah.
Why?
Because you walk in and out of your house.
In and out of your house every day, and it's by Yom Uvalayla. Tefillin we don't wear at night. So the Yerushalmi says, if you have a toss-up, I only have $100, and I can either buy a mezuzah or I can buy a pair of tefillin. You find me where you can buy a pair of tefillin for $100, okay? So, also.
So every second of every day, since it's on your house for human kind, it's a mezuzah.
Yeah.
Not just when you put it up.
We only make a bracha when you put it up because the halach is you only make a bracha when you're doing a ma'aseh mitzvah. But tefillin also, every second that you're wearing it, you also have a mitzvah. That's interesting. So you want to say it's more mekudesh. Interesting, okay. So the Yerushalmi says that mezuzah comes first. Why? Because mezuzah is something that applies on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. Tefillin we don't wear on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, the Yerushalmi comes to the conclusion. Mezuzah comes first. I'm sorry. Yeah, mezuzah comes first. Why? If I only have $100, I should buy a mezuzah. Why? Because the mezuzah is something that is knowing even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Masha'enkin, the tefillin is something that I only wear during the weekday and not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, the Ramah Paskins like that in Shulchan Aruch Yeradein Hilchas Mezuzah in Reish Pei Hei, that mezuzah would come first. Why? Because mezuzah is, seemingly because mezuzah is tadir. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, so over here we're using tadir b'sheinu tadir to say something a lot further than what we said before. Again, what we mentioned before is, let's say, the example of Kriyas HaTorah on Chanukah. So you have Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh Teves. Which Kriyas HaTorah am I going to read first? Am I going to first read Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Chodesh, or am I first going to read the Kriyas HaTorah of Chanukah? Okay, so Tadir v'Sheinu Tadir dictates which one you do first. But over here, Tadir v'Sheinu Tadir is going a step further. What's it saying? Tal B'Shen HaTadr is telling you for the rest of your life you're not going to have a pair of tefillin. But because Tal B'Shen HaTadr is such a compelling argument, therefore we tell you, go and buy the mezuzah instead of having the tefillin, and that will knock out the mitzvah of tefillin forever. You won't be able to wear a pair of tefillin because you'll never get money again, let's say. So Tal B'Shen HaTadr here is being brought to a very different context, to a different level. We're assuming that it's able to go so far as to knock out the second mitzvah, Lagamri, from the picture. That's what you find in the Yerushalmi with regard to this halacha of the toss-up between mezuzah and tefillin. However, what we find in the Magen Avraham is not so. The Magen Avraham discusses an interesting halacha. What's the din on Chanukah? You can only lay in one haftorah on Shabbos Chanukah. So which one should it be? Should you lay in the haftorah again? We do a Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos, and we do a Kriyas HaTorah of Chanukah on Shabbos Chanukah. So which one should you lay in the haftorah from? Should you lay in the haftorah for the Shabbos? Or should he lay in the Haftarah for Chanukah? Well, says the Magen Avraham, Chanukah is Persume Nisa Adif, and since Persume Nisa, we want to talk about the Nes of Chanukah, therefore we lay in a Haftarah of Chanukah instead. Ask the Magen Avraham, what do you mean you lay in the Haftarah of Chanukah instead of Shabbos? What do you mean? Shabbos is Tadir. So the whole question is a little bit funny, because it's not, you don't lay in the same Haftarah every Shabbos. Right, so that's just an interesting premise that the Magen Avraham has. But says the Magen Avraham, before you get to that question, Magen Avraham says, what?
What about Shabbos Rosh Chodesh?
Yeah. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah?
No, regular Shabbos.
Regular Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, okay.
So, Shabbos on Tadir.
Right.
So why do we lean? And it's not Persume Nisa. Why do we lean the...
So says the Magen Avraham, you know why? Take your example as an easier example. Leaving Persume Nisa out of the question. Says the Magen Avraham, you know why? Because Tadir V'Shein HaTadir doesn't play a role when you can only choose one. Tadir V'Shein HaTadir doesn't play a role when you're going to have to knock out one of the two options. So over here, we're only going to choose one Haftorah. We're not laying two Haftorahs. So the option is either I'm going to lay the Haftorah for Shabbos, or I'm going to lay the Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh. Now, which one should I choose? Tadir V'Shein HaTadir is not going to dictate which one I should choose, because that's going to knock out the other one. So you have to have some other way of calculating, some other way of figuring out which one to choose. So this is interesting. Well, if that's true, then how do you understand the Yerushalmi? Again, if the Magen Avraham is correct, that Tadir V'Shein HaTadir is never able to knock out a mitzvah legamri and say that, forget about it, we don't have to worry about that mitzvah at all, that's not a factor. Well then, how do you understand the Yerushalmi? Again, the Yerushalmi writes, when you have a toss-up between buying a mezuzah or buying tefillin, so the Yerushalmi says you should buy the mezuzah instead of buying the tefillin, seemingly because it's no against Shabbos and Yantav. So how do you explain that, Yerushalmi?
That's the same thing.
Okay. I have two different mitzvahs that I'm mechuyev to do today. One is to lay an haftorah of...
But you're still
being
the
kind
of mitzvah of haftorah. Just choosing the haftorah.
Okay, but one of them is going to be knocked out.
Again, but...
So the Magen Avraham's yisod here, the Magen Avraham's klal is, Tal V'Shein HaTadr can never knock out another mitzvah. Tal V'Shein HaTadr just tells you when you have two mitzvahs in front of you, you're going to do both, so which one should you do first? But it's never going to play a factor in knocking one out. So then how do you understand that Yerushalmi? The Ramah Paskins like that. The mezuzah comes first.
Does Rabbanan so, verse
Teresa
make a difference?
The Rabbanan verse makes a big difference.
So I admit her Haftorah is not
Teresa. Okay.
So therefore...
No, but it's two Rabbanans, well, meaning you have Haftorah... Yeah. No. The Shagasari writes in a it's a good point, meaning the Shagasari talks about in a tshuva when you have a toss-up between a Daraisa and a Rabbanan. So that's not a question. The Daraisa obviously comes first before the Rabbanan. You're saying when you have two Rabbanans versus each other, obviously the rules are the same. It could be. Right, so we have to do some work and figure out why is it different. So that I'm just leaving for your curiosity. Let's say, you look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes, let's say a person is walking, you just walk out of the men's room and you have to make an Asher Yatzar. All of a sudden you hear thunder and lightning outside. You hear thunder, you see lightning, and you have to make a bracha, Osam Aisa Bereshis, or you have to make Shekocha Gverosam Alei Olam. So which one should you say first? Mishnah Berurah writes in Ilchas Bracha Siman Reish Chav Zayin, says the Mishnah Berurah, you should first say the bracha on the thunder and the lightning. Why?
You're going to lose it.
Aye, but Asher Yatzar is Tadir. How often is there a thunderstorm outside? Okay. So you're saying we have two svaras over here. One is a svar that this is a mitzvah of Eris, this is going to pass by. And the other svar is Tadir.
Tefillin, you could say that, because there's no mitzvah to own tefillin. There's a mitzvah to put on tefillin. I can go to any Chabad house and get tefillin every day, but I can't
Right, but Rabbi Kiva Eger in Shulchan Aruch brings up the possibility that maybe we should say, meaning there is a machlokas in the Yerushalmi, which one comes first, right? So should it be tefillin, should it be mezuzah? So why would you say tefillin first? Rabbi Kiva Eger says you can live in a park bench, right? You could be homeless and not have your own home and not be chayv and mezuzah either, okay? If you so choose to live like that. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says that the Yerushalmi has a lashon that tefillin is a chobas haguf. Tefillin is something I'm mechuyev. Every head, every Jewish male head has to have tefillin on it. Every Jewish home has to have a mezuzah. You don't have to live in a Jewish home. So Rabbi Kiva Eger throws that in.
Could that change based on individuals, or is that something that, because, for example, your case of Asher Yasser and eating, mm-hmm. some people might know that they always eat more than they need to make
right.
And for that matter also, I can think of a case maybe even with towels and filling. Mm-hmm. If I meet people and don't put towels every day, right? But I'm saying brachos, so in the morning I'm going to go up. I'm a 13-year-old kid. I've got to put on towels and tefillin. But I put the towels on first or the tefillin first?
Interesting. Interesting. So talus might be a little different because talus, again, the Beis Yosef gives two reasons. Beis Yosef says because it's shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. But I want to get back to your example about the bar mitzvah boy, because he's probably going to put on his tefillin before, and then they're looking for someone to daven. So then he goes up, right? So we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Right. Correct. You're saying if you're not mechuyev to put up a mezuzah now, so then there's no question. And there's no question. But generally we assume, I think that's a major misconception that people have about putting up mezuzahs. It's a major mistake. People think you have 30 days to put up a mezuzah. It's not necessarily the case. So let's say I buy a house in Woodmere, right? So when do I put up a mezuzah? People think they have 30 days to put it up. It's not true. You're mechuyev to put it up right away when you buy the house. That's the halacha. You're mechuyev to put a mezuzah right away when you move into the house. You have to put it up. So again, if I buy the house and they're doing construction and I'm not moving in for 6 months, okay, so then you're not moving in yet. But if I move into the house, I'm mechuyev to put a mezuzah right away. You can't wait 30 days. That's not the assumption. Anyway, but you do have a good question. Obviously, if one of the factors was that right now the mitzvah doesn't apply to me and it's only going to apply in a later time, obviously that would play a big role also. It's interesting to note, there is a Mishnah Maseches Nazir. Look at this Mishnah number Gimel. The Mishnah writes as follows. Let's say you have a toss-up between a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir. Now, both a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are not allowed to be metame to a mace. Right? But a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are not exactly the same. What happens if a Kohen Gadol becomes tame? What does he do? Parah Aduma, go to the mikvah and he'll become tahor. What happens if a Nazir becomes tame? Parah Aduma, go to the mikvah and? What?
Start over
and? Bring a carbon. You also have to bring a carbon. So it's a major difference. So says the Yerushalmi as follows. We know that a Nazir is allowed to be metame to a meis mitzvah. A Kohen Gadol is also allowed to be metame to a meis mitzvah. So what happens if both of them are taking a walk down the road together and they're going for a very nice trip in the woods and now all of a sudden they chance upon a meis mitzvah? So they're arguing with each other. Who should take care of the meis mitzvah? Both of us have a heter to deal with the meis mitzvah, even though we're not allowed to become tame generally. But for a meis mitzvah, they're both allowed to break the rules. They're both allowed to become tame. So who should break the tumah? Who should break the rules? Should the Kohen Gadol break the rules, or should the Nazir break the rules? What would he say? Machlokes says the Mishnah as follows. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer says, Yitame HaKohen Gadol, Va'al Yitame HaNazir. The Kohen Gadol should become tame, and not the Nazir. Why? Because it must be that the Kedusha of a Nazir is more chamer, is more serious than the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol. Why? Because when a Nazir becomes tame, he has to bring a carbon. So don't defile the Kedusha. Again, if the Nazir is the only one walking down the road, he sees a Meis Mitzvah, of course it will come Tame. But we have a choice to choose either a Kohen Gadol being Metame or a Nazir being Metame. So Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that the Kohen Gadol should be Metame because he is obviously on a lower level of Kedusha than the Nazir is from the fact that we know that a Nazir has to bring a carbon when it becomes Tame. Chachamim Amrim, the Chacham disagree and say, no, Yitame HaNazir. the Nazir should become Tamei. Why? Shekedusha. Because a Kohen Gadol has the Kedusha, he's born with it, and he's going to live with it for the rest of his life. A Nazir, on the other hand, is only for a limited amount of time. So therefore, the Chachamim disagree, and they believe that the Nazir should, the Nazir is on a lower level of Kedusha, and therefore we assume that he should defile his Kedusha first before the Kohen Gadol defiles his. Now the Yerushalmi, how do you understand? I would have said it's a Machlokas and Lamdas, right? It's a Machlokas. Well, this one, on the one hand, has an upper hand because he has to bring a carbon every time he becomes tummy. And that one has the upper hand because he's born Kaddish as a Kohen, and therefore he's different than the Nazir. Okay, so they're arguing alumnus, which Svar is more is stronger, which Svar makes the Kedusha more palpable, either the Kohen Gadol or the Nazir. The Yerushalmi says, no, that's not the Pshat in the Machlokas. Says the Yerushalmi as follows. We have in this Gemara in Zvachim Daf Pei Tes, the Gemara says, Tadir Vishenu, Tadir Kodem. Says the Gemara, what if you have Tadir Mekudosh? Which one comes first? What if I have something which we do very often, but it's going up against something which is much holier than it? So which one beats out? Would I say that Tadir Kodem? Or would I say Mekudosh Kodem? What do you say in a case like that? So the Gemara in Zvachim goes back and forth, has a whole bunch of rayas back and forth, and finally the Gemara comes to the conclusion it's an Ibaya de Lov Shita. The Gemara is not sure what the Psak is. The Rambam even Paskins call a Rotze, whichever one you want to do, you do first, because we don't know what the rule is. So when you have Tadr versus Mekudosh, so we assume that you can do Me'ezim Em Shigirtze Yase, whichever one you want to do, you have the right to do. Says the Yerushalmi.
That on the assumption that you're going to lose one of them?
No, that's which one you can do first. So over here, the Yerushalmi writes, you have a Kohen versus a Nazir. Says the Yerushalmi, you know what they're disagreeing? About Tadr Mekudosh, which one comes first? Tadr Mekudosh, which one comes first? What does that mean? Says the Yerushalmi as follows. Rabbi Lezer says that the Kohen Gadol should be Metame. Why? Because Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that when you have a toss-up between Tadr and Mekudosh, Mekudosh takes precedence. And the Kohen who is... And the Nazir, who's obviously more Mekudosh because he has to bring a carbon when he becomes Tamei, he is considered more Chashiv than the Tadir, than the Kohen who is Tahar, who is Kaddish his whole life from the time he's born. And the Chacham disagree. The Chacham say, no, when you have a toss-up between Tadir and Mekudosh, Tadir comes first, Tadir takes precedence over the Mekudosh. So this is a very interesting way of explaining this Machlokas. It's not the Achronim say, that's what the Yerushalmi explains. So Rav Soloveitchik has a whole long arichas on this, and he discusses it. Anyway, so some point out that why does Rabbi Kivagar and the Magen Avraham and all these Achronim, why do they have a suffix about which one comes first? And when you're trying to figure out, should he knock out a mitzvah, should he not? Could Tadir, Vishenu Tadir, knock out a mitzvah, legamri or not? Exactly your point. What do you mean? Don't you see Beferish in the Yerushalmi? That the Yerushalmi uses the principle of Tadir versus Mekudosh to say that what? Either the Kohen Gadol is going to get knocked out, or the Nazir is going to get knocked out. Both of them are not going to remain Kadosh, both of them are not going to remain Tahor, and you see that the Yerushalmi borrows this principle to say, that's how we're going to decide which one is out. So you see, this is exactly the question you were asking. Don't you see, obviously, that Tadir and Mekudosh, don't you see that Tadir Vashen and Tadir, don't you see that this principle is able not only to tell you which mitzvah you should do first, but it also tells you which mitzvah will be able to be knocked out, legamri, from the equation. So this is a very interesting Yerushalmi to note. Now there's another discussion, which is, what about Bidiyavid? What if I did the wrong one, Bidiyavid? Again, Tadir Vishenu Tadir tells me you should do this one first. So what if I lay in backwards, like the Rama writes in Hilchos Chanukah? So what happens if I make a mistake on Rosh Chodesh Teves, and instead of laning Rosh Chodesh laning before Chanukah, I go ahead and I lane Chanukah first? Says the Rama, stop in the middle. It's ma'akev, tadir v'sheinu tadir means you stop the kriyas haTorah in the middle and you start all over again. That's how Father Rama wants to take it, which is very surprising. And the Taz says, I don't understand. Where is he coming from? How can he say such a thing? Tadir v'sheinu tadir just says, lechatchila, if you're trying to figure out, and you come to the rabbi and you ask a shayla, I have this mitzvah and that mitzvah in front of me, and I'm not sure which one I should do. So he'll tell you, tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir kodem, but if you did it wrong, no one's going to tell you to go back. Let's say, for example, the Achronim discuss. Let's say I'm benching on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or on Shabbos Yom Tif, whatever it is, and I say Yalav Yavo before Ritzeh. You're going to tell me to go back and repeat the benching? Of course not. Why? Because even though Tadir V'sheinu Tadir dictates that this is how you should have done it first, but now that you did it wrong, are we really going to tell you that you should go back and do the whole thing over? Now, the Bihuda has a tshuva also, very similar idea. He says, what happens when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos? So what do we lay in Rosh Chodesh Adar? Parsha Shkolim. So let's say you lay in Shkolim before you lay in the Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh is supposed to come first. We take out three Sefer Torah, right? Number one for the Parsha Shavua, number two for Rosh Chodesh, number three for Parsha Shkalim. So what if you lay in Shkalim before Rosh Chodesh? You weren't supposed to. So Rabbi Yehuda says, well, how can you say we're going to make you go back and do the Kriyas HaTorah again? Is the Ramah really correct? So this is something that many, many Achronim have a very difficult time accepting. And in fact, the Karban Asanel, I think, registers a very good taina against the Raman. He says, we have another principle, which is, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. What does that mean? If I'm in the middle of doing one mitzvah, you can't jump away and do something else. So here, I made a mistake. I took out three Sefer Torah. I start laying the Parsha Shavua. After that, I take out the second Sefer Torah, and I forget, and I lay in Parsha Shkalim before I lay in Rosh Chodesh. You're going to tell me, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. You're going to tell me, oh, close up the Sefer Torah, put it away, and now take out the third one to start laying over. How can you do such a thing? Says the Karban Asanel, he doesn't understand. How does the Ramah make such a mistake? It can't be. So a lot of the Achronim gang up against the Ramah, and they feel that what he paskin over here with regard to mistaken laning on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, that would not be the case, the halachas. So if it happens here, we'll discuss it. But hopefully it shouldn't happen. Yeah. I'm already in the middle of laning. I already started reading the Pesukim. So you're going to tell me, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. Let's roll the Sefer Torah. So you're saying, so don't take out the other one. But still, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs, I'm already in the middle of this mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah on Parsha Shkalim. So you're going to tell me I have to go away from Parsha Shkalim now, go to something else, make the brachas all over again? How can you say such a thing?
Yeah, because you're not performing the mitzvah.
Why not?
Because it's
ma'akev. So that's what the Rambam believes. But all the Achronim say, how can you say that? Let's say the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tmidim U'Musafim. So what's the halacha by a korban? Says the Rambam, Hilchos Tmidim U'Musafim. Avar v'shachad as-she'eino tadir. What if I make a mistake? The Rambam says explicitly, makriv aveinu mafsik. If I already started doing the hakrava on one of the karbanas, which is not tadir, I do it the wrong way, the Rambam says beferish. So you continue doing what you're doing, and then you go do the second one.
What would the Rambam say?
I don't know. The Rambam only writes on halacha l'maisa. He doesn't talk about karbanas, so we'll have to ask him. We'll have to ask him when we have a Beis HaMikdash. We'll ask him what he says. But that's the Achronim have many questions on the Ramah. How can he say such a thing? Let's say, again, take a test example. If you made a mistake in Ritzei and Yalav Yavol, and you said it the wrong way, and you came and you asked the Shaila, would you have to bench again? What do you say? What? So the Achronim say, it's Tali in the Machlokas, the Ramah, and the Ramah doesn't talk about it. They say it's Tali in the Machlokas, the Ramah, and the Taz, and the other Achronim. If you assume like the Ramah, yes, so go bench again. If you assume like the Taz and all the other Achronim, of course you don't bench again. Tadav Shana Tadav just means it's a suggestion. This is what you should do first. If you make a mistake, so you made a mistake, too bad. You move on with life.
Now, the Ramah would seemingly say, like we were saying beforehand, if you had the opportunity to say
Ramah, right?
That you can't. That's not even a question. You would have to do the Tadav first.
Why?
Because it's Ma'akev.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't think of that. So you want to tie it back into the Ramah Chana. Could be. Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Your towels
is supposed to be above, so you reach and take it
out
first. It's critical. Is this right? Otherwise,
yeah, because
Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs. Right. So right. You wouldn't be concerned about that otherwise, I would think, because otherwise, so what? If you take your towels out, you know, if you take your tefillin out first, there is that halacha.
Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs, of course.
So the point is that you're worried about Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs despite the tadir issue. Meaning, what happens if I in fact take out my
No, but you set it up in a way. If you take out your tefillin, if you take it out, it says beferish. You should put on the tefillin.
Right.
It says that beferish.
So then, presumably, Ein Mavirin Ala Mitzvahs would trump.
That's the kasha, exactly.
Well, that's how we hold, right?
That is how we hold, right? That's why the Ramah is very shver. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what they say. Now, what I find very fascinating is how do you figure out when something is more tother than something else? What would you say? This is a trick. So what would he say? So take, for example, the Shagasari writes in a tshuva. So what happens during Sfira? So on Friday night during Sfira at the end of the meal, I davened Ma'ariv too early, so I have to repeat Kriyashma and I have to say Sfira Omer. Which one do I do first? I'm sorry, no. He talks about, no, obviously in the days of the Shagasari, they didn't daven early Ma'ariv. So they daven Bizman. So now I'm at the end of my meal and I realize I have to count Sfira. Why didn't they say Sfira also? By Ma'ariv? I'm saying, why does he only talk about Sfira and Birchas HaMazon? I don't know. It's a good question. What about Kriyashma? Okay, so the question that he discusses is what when you have a toss up between Sfira Omer and Birchas HaMazon? Chassidim. Most of us are not Chassidim, you know? Shagasari was certainly not. So I know Jeremy's Hasidic roots for a long time, and it wasn't condescending to Hasidim at all. But anyway, so the Shagas Aryeh talks about the what do you do when you have a toss up between Birchas HaMazon and Sfiras HaOmer? Says the Shagas Aryeh, well, count how many times a year you mechuyev to bench. You mechuyev to have 3 meals every Shabbos, and you have to bench. So he says, you count up, I don't know math, but, you know, 50 times 3 is probably going to be 150, something around that. Right? So you're going to have to bench 150 times a year. How many times do you have to count Sfira a year? 49. So, says the Shagas Aryeh, when you have a toss-up between Birchas HaMazon and Sfiras HaOmer, Birchas HaMazon takes precedence because Tadr Shenu, Tadr, Tadr Kodim. That's the simple understanding. That's the way you figure out what Tadr is. That's the way we understand it. Says the Mati Ephraim, not so fast. Why? Because what happens when you have Rosh Chodesh Elul? At the end of davening, you have to say Barchi Nafshi and L'David Hashem Ori. So which one do you say first? So every year the minig is you fight in shul. Right? That's the minig. But let's say you don't want to have the fight in shul. You want to figure out, says the Mati Ephraim, which one comes first? So what do you say? L'David comes first. Why? So how many times do you say L'David? Probably, I mean, we say it Shachar and Mincha or whatever, Mincha Meir, whatever. Ashkenaz and Sfarad both say it twice a day, right? So we say it twice a day for 40 days, correct? So that's 80. How many times a year do you say Barchi Napshi? 15 maximum when you have 2 days Rosh Chodesh, right? So, what? Okay. So what do you do? So the Mati Ephraim says, well, what would you have said? If you were the Shagas Aryeh, what would you have said? Well, obviously the David.
More.
The David is more. So the David should have come first. Why did we not do that? Huh? Says the Mati Ephraim, Tadir v'shenu tadir, we don't determine based on how many times numerically you do it throughout the year. He says tadir doesn't mean how many times, count it up and figure out how many times you do it. It's how regular are you to saying this. So Barchi Nafshi is something we say throughout the year. We're used to saying it because every month we remind ourselves of the Barchi Nafshi. The David Hashem Ori is something we only say at one period of year. And therefore he says, even though in the end, when you count everything up, we say the David more often, however, Barchi Nafshi is still going to be considered more tadir because we don't count it up numerically. We figure out what is something that's more tadir in my mind. What is something that I'm more used to, I'm more ragil to. So that's, to me, a very interesting discussion about how do you determine what in fact is considered tadir and what is not. It's not simply based on numerical value. We assume it's also based on the fact that you have to figure out how much of a regilus does a person have throughout the year. I saw a fascinating story with the Stipler and Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and I was very taken by the story that they went out to say Birchas HaChama. So what's the minute? When do we say Birchas HaChama? We say Birchas HaChama on Erev Pesach, right? That's normally when we say it, correct? Every 28 years. So they were going out to say Birchas HaChama. Now, when do we do the Birchas Ilanos? So the Birchas Ilanos, you're allowed to say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the whole Nisan. So for most of us that walk out on the streets, we go to work, we do all the things, so we say Birchas Ilanos the first time we pass a tree. For Reb Chaim Kanievsky and the Stipler, who never walked out of their Dalai Lamas, and only once a year they walk out to say the Birchas Ilanos, so they save the opportunity to say the Birchas HaChama and the Birchas Ilanos on the same morning, right? Why should we leave our house to go do two different things? May as well do it on the same day. So Erev Pesach, they're on their way to walk to say the Birchas HaChama on Erev Pesach, and they get into a discussion. The Stipler says, let's first make the bracha. On the Birchas Ilanos, and then we'll make the Birchas HaChama. Why? Because Birchas Ilanos you say every year. Birchas HaChama is only every 28 years. Listen to the Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He said, no, Tati, you're wrong. Why? Birchas HaChama is more tadir. Why? Osa Maisa Bereshis. What bracha do we recite when we see the Chama B'Tkufasa? We don't make up a new bracha. We say Osa Maisa Bereshis. Well, how many times a year do you say Osa Maisa Bereshis? Many more times than you recite a Birchas Ilanos. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky argued with his father, the Stipler, and he said, well, the truth is, yes, it's true, we only do this once every 28 years, but the Nusach HaBracha is something that we're used to. It's something that we say many times throughout the year. Doesn't matter that now we happen to be saying it only for the Chama. So the Stipler thought his son was crazy, and he disagreed with him, and he said, it's not true. Just because you say the Bracha Osa Maisa Bereshis many times a year, that doesn't make a difference. We have to figure out, how many times a year do I say it for this purpose? And since I only say it once every 28 years, therefore it would be considered less tadir, and we would not recite the Birchas HaChama first. So this was an interesting discussion. Reb Chaim Kanievsky then argued back on his father and he said, I have a raya that you're incorrect. Why? Because you go into the sukkah and we recite, we have two things in front of us. You have to recite a Shachiyanu and you also have to recite a Leshe Basukkah. Which one do you do first? Shachiyanu and then Leshe Basukkah. Why? Because Shachiyanu is more tadir. That's what the Gemara says. Shachiyanu is more tadir? What do you mean? How many times do you say Shachianu over Yantif? Once the first days, once the second days. Or, right? Yantif Sheni, so you say it twice. First days, twice the second days. How many times do you say Leisha Basuka? What? As many times you go on the Sukkah. So you can say 50 times every Yantif. Says the Gemara, why is Shachianu more Tadir? Because Shachianu you say throughout the year. You say it on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkahs, Pesach, Shavuos, you say it throughout the year, so you say Shachianu, and therefore it's more Tadir. If the stipler is correct, that we don't look at the Nusach HaBracha, but we look at, right now, why am I saying it? If the stipler is correct, so then why does the Gemara say, well, you count up how many times a year you say Shachianu, and that's going to be more Tadir. What do you mean? That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing right now with Kedushas Yomtiv. And Kedushas Yomtiv is something that only comes right now, on Sukkahs. So that's a very interesting machlokas that broke out between Reb Chaim Kanievsky and his father, the stipler. There was somebody else who was standing right behind them, apparently, who jumped into the conversation and started arguing along and said, well, I have a very different consideration. We know in Hilchos Brachos, let's say you have a toss-up, you have to make either a ha'etz, I have an apple in front of me, and I also have a cup of water. So which one should I make the bracha on first? Nope. Ha'etz. Why do you make ha'etz first? It's specific. The Shulchan Aruch says, not because it's more chashuv. The Shulchan Aruch says, when you have, let's say, a rimon and an apple, so then the rimon is more chashuv, so you make the bracha on that. But when you have a ha'etz versus a shahakol, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you make the ha'etz first because it's a specific bracha that's talking about a very specific thing. It's not shahakol ni'abedvaru, it's bari pre'etz, which is specific to a treat. So this person who was standing near them, I guess, argued the following. Maybe you should say the same thing in Birchas HaShvach. When I have a toss-up between a Birchas Ilanus and between a Osam Ha'isabereshus on the sun, well, which one is specific and which one is general? Osam Ha'isabereshus is general. And Birchas Ilanus is very specific. So maybe we should carry over the same rule that we have at Birchas HaNenin, maybe we should carry that over to Birchas HaRiyah also, and we should say that when you have a specific bracha versus a bracha which is not specific, which is very general, maybe that should also be the guiding principle about which bracha to say before the other one. So that was a very interesting discussion that came up. And you know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky argued back, and he said, no, you shouldn't say that, because we only say that by Birchas Hanan, and we don't say it by Birchas Ariya. Okay, you can argue back and forth, you can say different things. I see we're out of time, it's time for Marv already, but there's a lot more to talk about Tadr V'Sheino Tadr Tadr Kodem. Let me just leave you with one interesting point, and that is the following. We were once at a wedding together with my father, and I remember it was the beginning of the Chassan Tradition. Nobody had showed up yet. Of course, my father's always the first one there for everything. So we came to the wedding, and my father said, well, if we're not going to have the wedding now, if we're not going to start the Chassan Tradition, we may as well Daven Maariv. We had a minyan. No one else was there, so we may as well Daven Maariv. Oh no, we didn't have a minyan. So he said, we can't have a marv yet, so we may as well go outside and make Kiddush Levana. So somebody said, what do you mean? Tadr V'Sheino Tadr Tadr Kodem, we can't make Kiddush Levana, we have to have a marv. So he said, what do you mean? But we don't have a minyan yet. Of course you're allowed to say Kiddush Levana. So they got into this whole fight. It was a big Rosh Hashiva who was there fighting with him, and the big Rosh Hashiva happened to be very wrong. Why? Because we find the halacha is that, yes, it's true, Tadr V'Sheino Tadr Tadr Kodem, but that's only if both mitzvahs are in front of me. That's what I was waiting to get to your point. The Shulchan Aruch says, Beferish. What if I have a case? Yes, it's true, Tadr V'Sheino Tadr Tadr Kodem, that the tefillin should come, that the tzitzis, the talis, should come before the tefillin. However, let's say I mistakenly take my tefillin out before my talis, the Shulchan Aruch says in that case, right, you put on the tefillin first. Or, for example, let's say I left my talis at home and someone's going to bring it in 10 minutes. And right now I have an opportunity to put on my tefillin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if only one mitzvah is in front of you and the other one is going to come later, then obviously you do the one that's in front of you now and you do the other one later, even though Tadr V'Sheino Tadr, you're breaking the rules. So to over here, I have in front of me a chiv to daven marv. I also have a chiv to say Kiddush Levana. So right now I don't have a minion, so go outside and say Kiddush Levana. Ah, you're supposed to say Kiddush Levana with a minion, okay, that's lechatchila, but if you're afraid you're going to miss Kiddush Levana, you go outside and say it without a minion. So therefore, my father was right that you should say Kiddush Levana first, because right now we don't have a minion to daven Maariv, so therefore Maariv really does not come into the equation. Again, just to remind everybody, next week...